I'm Ben Barks with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Did you know that there's a waiting list of more than 50 children in our community waiting for a mentor? It's just only a few hours a month of your time to invest in a child and make a difference in your community. Be a mentor, become a big. Visit Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Northeast Florida and click on Be a Big. Thank you.
Now live from Dick's Wings on the North Side, Compton & Company. Brought to you by United Rentals on 1010XL. Here's your host, Ron Compton.
And good afternoon, good afternoon. Welcome to Compton & Company, coming to you from Dick's Wings on the north side, intersection of New Berlin and Yellow Bluff Roads. Come on, hang out with us. A little Masters action ongoing.
Relaxing Masters.
It is a relaxing Masters
because
for
idiots,
Chuck Elliott.
Because idiots speed and don't drive. You have a 50-mile-an-hour speed limit. That's why it's a relaxing Masters.
Here we go. Why did you have to even go there? I mean,
right
I
off
was
the bat.
I was.
Boy, did you hear that L.A.? I don't know what county. He was covered up for Tiger.
Bro, I was actually going to tee you up a little later on about this whole Tiger stuff because, look, the most importantly, no one was hurt. It was a single car collision.
Right.
He's okay per se. I mean, I know he's banged up. You know, a lot of leg issues and things of that nature. A lot of things are broken. I understand, but he still has his life, right? So that's the most important part. But I will say this. You know, my older son, who turned 21 near the end of May, ran his car into a ditch while texting. He admitted to me, Dad, I messed up. I was texting and driving, and he right on Yellow Bluff Road on the way home one night. And if you ever driven on Yellow Bluff Road, you understand how dangerous that is in general. No margin for error whatsoever. And here he is.
But he wasn't hopped up on pills.
No,
right?
Well, hold on. Let's just not go there right now. Okay? But here's my point. Is I'm thinking to myself, he runs off into a ditch. Police shows up. He gets a careless driving ticket. Okay.
Bingo!
Okay.
Bingo!
We've got Tiger Woods, and Chuck's about to have a fit over here.
Winner, winner!
Tiger Woods is going to 80 miles an hour, never slows down, and doesn't even get a ticket.
Yes,
I'm thinking, how in hell is that possible? But I guess it is. I guess because Tiger Woods.
That should frustrate you more so than me, because you know your son. Careless
again,
drive.
I was going to tee you up later on in the show. I mean, you went to it right away, so I guess we'll go there for a moment.
I'm gonna,
but
I'm
again,
gonna go
I'm
to the spot.
Thankfully he's okay. He and Roy McIlroy and Dustin Johnson, they've got in common. They're all watching this weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, and Brett Koepka as well. He's also watching.
Not that you care. You're my favorite golfer now. I like Tony Finau. I wish the guy would start winning some more. He's had a lot of leads after 54 holes. He hasn't closed the deal.
Well, you know what?
Yesterday.
I'm pulling for Jordan Spieth. As is a bunch of people today. Look, he came on the. You know, he's neighbors with Mark Cuban. Do you know that?
Really?
Yeah, neighbors with the.
That means he lives in a rich neighborhood.
He does live in a rich neighborhood. Absolutely.
See, I would think that. I understand that Jordan Spieth is rich, but I wouldn't think he's like. Obviously not Mark Cuban rich.
How much of a house can you actually buy? You know what I mean? Whether you make $10 million a year, $100 million a year, or you make, $1 billion a year, there's only so, you can only have so much of a house as far from a niceness or
well, you saw
standpoint.
You saw Coming to America, too, and I was reading the... They used some rapper's house, and that was like some $50 million house. So, you ever watch MTV Cribs? That's how much house you can buy.
Well, yeah, you know what? And if you make, if you're Jordan Spieth and you sign all those endorsement deals, and along with your earnings the first couple of years, you can absolutely afford every bit of that.
I guess I would think someone like Mark Cuban would be someone that you would have like your own. Not island, but you would live somewhere where there's not a house within 5 miles of you or something crazy like that. But you know what I mean. I wouldn't think Mark Cuban would live in a neighborhood, was my point.
Well, you think he's living in a ranch house somewhere with nobody around?
Well, Tiger Woods lives in Jupiter, right? I mean, I wonder how many neighbors are around him, I wonder. Probably, the Kennedys, maybe?
you stalk Tiger, you should know. I mean, you're always down there stalking him. You should know exactly what's going on around Tiger Woods. I mean, you're so obsessed with the guy.
I'm not obsessed.
You are. We can't even do 30 seconds of a show without you talking about Tiger Woods.
I'm just calling it like
Michael Phillips. Look, He pretends that he can't stand him.
I can't stand him.
You know, he really can't, man.
But you know what, though?
He just doesn't like him. You know
You know what he does? He lives rent-free in your head. He lives rent-free in your head, Chuck. He does. Rent-free.
Chuck goes to sleep just wondering what Tiger's doing every night.
He does. It's okay. It'll
driving
be okay,
like
Chuck.
A maniac. I know what he's doing.
Hey,
like
you know what they're doing in Tallahassee today? Once they're not doing a Gainesville this year, right?
A spring game.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Having a spring game in Tallahassee. And, you know, and kudos to Mike Norvell. Some other things he's doing is he's taking this coaching, this dead period, and he's, you know, doing clinics around the state of Florida, kind of getting that FSU brand back out there a little bit. So kudos to what that FSU staff and Mike Norvell is doing. That's going to be the only positive thing I'll see all year about Florida State. That's it. So I just want to get that out there. But so good job, Mike Norvell and company. I hope it pays off like maybe zero.
Right. Well, like five wins a year.
Maybe. Yeah. Let's hope it equates in 5 or 6 wins a year. That's plenty. Draft is a little more than 2 weeks away. We're 1 week into the Major League Baseball season. We got some cool on this day in sports and baseball related stuff, as well as some Masters things as well.
I think to go back Monday night, the game. What a letdown! You should have seen
that.
It was
a letdown.
You should have seen
that
coming though, because when you had such a great
Baylor was just hot, man. I mean, Baylor, you talk about peaking at the right time. I know people say, well, wait a minute, Gonzaga, the first 4 games of the term, they won by a combined 96 points. They didn't play anybody. They benefited from a couple of upsets to go along with them being the number one seed. Right, so they benefited from that. There's my phone ringing.
Should
let me turn that down. But Baylor, man, they were on fire, man. They just couldn't miss, and it wasn't just in the championship game. It was the entire term, but they played awfully well, and they played – they were a little, I guess, more battle tested during the tournament than Gonzaga was, and Gonzaga just couldn't handle their length. They couldn't handle their athleticism, and then look, Gonzaga. I mean, Baylor jumped out to 15-point lead right away, and then
it was 9-0 off the bat.
Then it stayed 15-20 the entire game, and then a couple of times Gonzaga would knock it down to 8 or 9 or 9 or 10, somewhere around 10. And then okay, here we go. You kept waiting for maybe Gonzaga would get hot. Even when Baylor went, I think, 4 minutes without a point or a field goal, Gonzaga went cold, and they just could never get back in it. So when they would cut it to 9 or 10, Baylor would hit a couple 3-balls, and then they'd stretch it back out.
Which side do you fall?
15 or 16.
I was thinking about this. You know, which side do you fall on? Do you fall on that? Okay, Gonzaga is one of the big boys now, and, you know, they're going to be around, or he's like, okay, you blew your best chance. There was no Duke. Carolina wasn't around. Kentucky wasn't in the tournament. North Carolina wasn't around long. Duke wasn't in it. Gonzaga blew their best chance they'll ever have to win the title.
I don't know about that. Do you think
they'll be back down the road?
Yeah. I mean, look, because they've been there before.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
it's tough to get there.
Sure it is. Now, is Gonzaga – am I saying they're Kentucky or Duke or Kansas? Absolutely not. But what they are is a team that they play, in a conference that they're going to win every year, right? They've been a tournament team every single year since Mark Few's been there. So they're always going to be in the tournament. They're always going to be out west. They'll always be a top 4 seed out west due to their schedule, right? And they're always going to be. Well, I think they're typically going to be out of the first weekend. They'll be a Sweet 16 team every couple of years. And when you get to that point, you know what? Every 7 or 8 years, you may be in the Final 4.
But you still have, if you're a Gonzaga fan, you have to be frustrated. You thought this year it was there for you. It was perfect.
Sure, it was all set up.
It'll never get this perfect situation again.
It was Baylor's first men's national championship.
I didn't realize it was only the second time a school from Texas won a national championship. The first, of course, being Texas Western, '66?
Good movie, by the way.
I've never seen it. Road, what's the
Glory
Road?
Glory Road. Glory Road. Very good movie.
I guess you would have thought somewhere along the way that maybe Texas would have won a national championship, but never had.
Yeah.
Texas Tech.
And
Texas
then Houston
A&M,
had that back, this back-to-back year.
Five
slam a jam and just couldn't get over the hump. And then they had a run, I think, in the mid-late 70s at Houston as well, but just couldn't win then either. That was Guy Morris was their coach, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Guy Morris. It was a letdown on Monday night, because after the game we've seen Saturday night between Gonzaga and UCLA.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That was a game for the ages. Duke Kentucky-ish, from 92, right? That was Duke Kentucky 92 all over again. It was so much fun to watch. But the other game, Baylor just ran right over Houston.
They were up by 25 at the half.
So it was, 45-20 at half of that game. So that sort of told you something, that whereas Gonzaga had to use it all up to beat UCLA, who, was in play, it was a play-in game, one of the first four to the final four.
Now, what do you think about, and like I said.
My point was, is that should have told you a little. Like you said, not that it would have been the letdown we seen on Monday, but Baylor is stroking it, right? And then they blow out Houston on Saturday. Gonzaga has to use it all to get through that, to get to Monday. And it was sort of, the writing was sort of on the wall, man. It really was. I collected money from you today, though.
Yeah.
From our pool.
Oh, yeah. You had a
pool champion.
You had Gonzaga win, although it didn't matter because
I had Gonzaga
got that
beating
far.
Baylor. Yeah.
Yeah, you should have done it. Should have done it the other way.
The other way.
But it didn't matter. Hopefully, it didn't matter.
But anyway, make your point probably break here.
Yeah, what I was going to say is, what do you think about, obviously, the championship game is a lot, you have a lot of casual fans that don't watch basketball during the year.
Yep.
And the way CBS and Jim Nance just more or less skated over the whole story about where Baylor came from, the issues they had. I mean, really, what a heck of a comeback for that program. They just briefly touched on it and did say, they were really down in the depths. Here's what happened. And, they've recovered to win the national championship.
I was really surprised as we break here. And we'll touch on a little
passing,
more of that.
Right?
It was just a pass. I'll tell you what, we'll discuss that on the other side. Let me throw out our two poll question. You guys can chime in at 641-1010, via the text line on 92.5 FM. Also, Michael Phillips will throw it out on Twitter as well. Here are the two questions, both Jacksonville Jaguar / draft related. So, one is just sort of a dream. The other is obviously it's a real question here. The first one is this. That second first-round pick in the National Football League draft, would you take, if these three guys were available, Kadarius Toney?
Where'd they pick?
They picked 25th.
25th.
So say yes, Travis Toney. This would all, I'll throw Kadarius Toney and say Najee Davenport together, meaning in the category would be, let's get Trevor a toy to play with, right? Let's get Trevor a toy. Would you take the playmaker? Would you take the secondary help and Trevon Morig? Or would you take Barmore, Christian Barmore, the big run stuffing ugly from Alabama? So would you take the playmaker on offense? Would you take some secondary help or big ugly up front on the defensive line and Barmore? And the other is this. As I look at the NFL draft value chart, when you look at points, what it would take to move all the way up to get in the Kyle Pitts range, it would take 25 and 33 this year. And the point system says a second rounder next year, but picks this year, they're valued more so than what you next year. So I would say it would take 25, 33, a 1 and a 3 next year to move up to get Kyle Pitts. So if you're the Jaguars, would you give up 25, 33, number one next year, and your third rounder next year to move all the way up to draft Kyle Pitts? And that's what it would take. So there are your two questions. We'll come back on 92.5 FM as we broadcast you from Dick's Wings on the north side.
This is Compton & Company on 1010XL.
And welcome back to Dick's Wings of the North Side. It is Compton & Company coming to you on 92.5 FM today. Michael Phillips producing, Chuck Elliott, yours truly, Ron Compton. Come by, hang out with us. Masters ongoing. Little NBA today, obviously college NBA today, Major League Baseball as well. Speaking of Major League Baseball, the first no-hitter in San Diego Padres history last night. And it's 53 years, not one no-hitter notched. 26, by the way, by the Los Angeles Dodgers organization. It's kind of a cool story. The pitcher that did that last night was traded to the Padres in January from the area, 15 miles from the stadium. And threw the no-no last night. Again, we are here at Dick's Wings on the North Side. Bucket specials, bucket to Bud Light, $12. Bottomless mimosas and Bloody Marys as well for $15. We're here on Saturdays. Live music was last night. I would have been here, but I was at the Clay County Fair, Chuck.
Probably packed. I heard it's been packed.
It was packed.
This 30 special was last concert last
night. Yeah, week. And I was. Was that last night? 30 special?
I was last weekend. Yeah, 30
last weekend.
They've had, I think, Sir
Mix-a-Lot was there.
Yeah. Tag team?
Vanilla Ice was there.
Tag team?
And I didn't see any of that. I was there last time. One of our great sponsors, Williams in a row, Jamie Russell, a part of the Williams family. Her kids and her daughter Hayden last night had a pig entered, right? So United Rentals, we sponsored a pig. We helped buy a pig. So we went there last night and had a little buyer's dinner and hung out. And I've never been to Clay County Fair. It's my first time.
I went once probably about 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's a long trip for me. It's a little over an hour for me from here.
It's what I've heard. It's probably the best fair of all the fairs around.
Yeah, but it was pretty good. It was good. So we were there, and by the time I got home.
You got a parking spot?
I did. Well, because we were in this buyer's type dinner,
yeah,
I got to go to the back, right? So it worked out pretty good. But anyway, so we were there for that, and I had a good time, but by the time I got home last night, I was too tired to roll back up for a little music last night. But music here, we're here Saturdays. We have poker on Mondays. We have flip coin on Wednesdays. Again, flip coin, you roll in, sit in the bar area, say, hey, order a drink, guess heads or tails. If you're right, the drink's free, and you do it for 2 hours. And then Tuesday is $8 for burger and fries, which the burgers are absolutely outstanding. And Thursday night is all day happy hour. We'll get the phone lines here momentarily, and we'll bring Dave in at 641-1010. He wants to talk a little Masters and Tiger Woods with Gary on deck. But first, before we go to the phone lines, Chuck, I know you've got something to poll questions. I'll get into these real quick. NFL draft. Hit us at 641-1010 or on Twitter. So with the first pick of the draft, would you take, say, a Kadarius Toney or maybe Najee Harris as a weapon for Trevor Lawrence? Get some safety help with Trevon Moehrig, or maybe Christian Barmore, a big tackle up the middle in the defensive line to help with that pass rush up the middle, right, to collapse that pocket a bit, to let those ends get off the edge, or the outside linebackers, I should say, as well, get off the edge in this 3-4 defense. And then the other would be, I'm hoping to doubt my Dallas Cowboys, the talk is going from 10 to 4. Could you imagine Kyle Pitts in that Cowboys offense? That would be outstanding.
Ready offense.
Oh, it'd be crazy. But so with the Jaguars, though, would you trade a 1, you're 25 and 33 this year, you're 1 and 3 next year to move up, say, in that range that you could get a Kyle Pitts? Those are your two questions. Before we go to the phone lines, Chuck, what do you got?
No, what I was going to talk about or bring up, and I should have done this earlier in past shows, and you haven't touched on this, but, you know, me being single, I eat out a lot. I'm also a salad snob,
yeah.
And seriously, this place has the best salads of anyone. I mean, I go to a lot of places.
Yeah.
Because you can attest to this. It seems like you go to a lot of places, you order a salad, you get 85% lettuce, maybe a tomato or two, and if you're lucky, you get a cucumber. Well, here I'm looking at, I got lettuce, I got tomatoes, cucumbers, onions, croutons, cheese, the whole nine yards.
Oh, no, it's a side salad.
Yes, that's a side salad. I didn't order a chef salad.
Yeah,
just give me the house side salad.
No, look, man. Whether you visit us here on the north side or in Lakewood at San Jose University.
I mean, salad's great. I'm only halfway through.
My buddy Ken, who owns both franchises. franchises here. Okay, look, 365 flavors of wings, lint menu ongoing right now, wraps, burgers, you name it, it's all here. Chuck mentioned that you know, just the side salad, but their salads in general are outstanding. I'm telling you, you'll be doing yourself a favor if you roll into a Dick's Wings today, especially today on the north side, because you can see Chuck.
There's too many places you get just lettuce and salad. This is the whole shebang.
To the phone lines we go. Dave at 641-1010. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Man, just living the dream. It's Saturday. The sun is out. I mean, after the show, it'll be time to either go to the beach or hit the pool or something. I mean, come on, man.
As Dave and I would say, the greatest golfer in history isn't the Masters this week.
Well, that's true. And by the way, 35th anniversary of that great day.
Oh, yes. How could we forget that? 35 years.
The greatest tournament. Jack Nicklaus,
The greatest tournament in history.
You know what, man? That's one of my best memories as a kid. Because, my daddy passed away at a young age. He and I watched the 86 Masters together, and he's the one that got me involved in golf and became a big Jack Nicklaus fan. And he and I watched that together. That's a great memory for me.
I ever watched where I was in tears. When he hit the shot on 16, actually, I thought it was going to go in for an ace. But it were tears of joy because he had. Everybody said he's done and blah, 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 blah. But, that's a fact. The only time I ever teared up over a sporting event.
Well, if you go back and you watch the replay of that fourth round, it's funny.
Oh, I've done
it. At the very beginning, they don't mention Jack Nicklaus. They mention everybody else. I mean, they mention damn near everybody else in the first few pages of the leaderboard to the very end. They get a token Jack Nicklaus mentioned.
Well, when he stepped on that 10th tee, he was six shots back.
Yep.
And just blistered the shot 30 and just blistered the back nine. So,
it's my favorite tournament, man. The Masters is absolutely my favorite tournament of the year to watch, and I'll certainly be watching some today before I head down to the pool.
But, as far as Tiger goes, a little strange on the way this is turning out, don't you think?
It's very odd. We talked about it in the open. It's weird that look.
How does he not get a ticket?
Well, I know. Well, we talked about that. Look again. You know, my kid got a ticket here recently for getting to a single car collision,
right.
And he got a careless driving ticket. Tiger goes 80. Flips his SUV, they find that nothing happened. What's funny, they say, well, no narcotics. We didn't see any pill bottle. Wait a minute, we did see one pill bottle with no label on it.
There was a pill bottle with no label.
Yeah, that's what it said, yeah. So they said there's
a thing called residue.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, hey, it's whatever.
History, I'm just saying,
mm-hmm.
if a lot of other would have been scrutinized a little bit tighter, I think.
And then he thought he was in Florida.
Yeah.
When the officer questioned him, he thought he was in Florida.
About any head injuries.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I thought I was in Florida. Anyways, to get back to the tournament today, I put $20 on Spieth to 12-1. I meant to do it a few weeks ago because he was like 40-1.
Yeah.
But then he won last week, and he dropped big time. But I like my chances today.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Tees up at 2 o'clock. Justin Rose leads it with Spieth in the top five. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Well, he's two back. But that being said, did you watch Thursday's round?
I watched bits and pieces of Thursday and Friday.
See him on 9 when he was like 30 yards deep into the woods?
That I did not.
Okay, he had like a 2.5 to 3 foot gap to be able to advance it forward towards the green. And I'm sitting there going, what are you doing, man? This is Thursday. All right, go sideways. He was 135 out. Go sideways, put it in the fairway, get a wedge, put it in there. They're deadly with a wedge from that distance. And put it inside 15 feet. It made me make par. At the worst bogey, and I'm just going crazy. What are you doing, bro? And sure enough, there's that dreaded sound in golf, thump thump, where he hit an oak tree solid as hell, went 20 yards backwards, wound up making triple. That being said, if he loses this tournament by a shot or two, that particular decision on a Thursday. They say you can lose it on a Thursday, you can't win it. But that's that decision to try to knock it through that, to get it through that short little space was, it was dicey. That's all I got to say.
Hey, David, man, we appreciate the call. And you know, we bring Gary in here. You know, what's funny is about that is they talk about whether it's shots on Thursday or Friday or baseball games get played in mid-April. They all count the same, Chuck. People say, "Oh well, no, it's how you finish." Well, yeah, but you know what? You got to start as well, right? And
I mean that second game, the Rays lost the season. That could be the difference between
that could matter as much as game 152, right?
Good. That's what always drives me crazy. You know, well, it's early in the season. Well, yeah, you're right, but it still counts.
But they all count the same. Yeah, absolutely. How about today? So far, we bring Gary in. Phil Mickelson is minus two, went out 34 on the front side, and has gotten it to, I think one under through 11 holes today. What says Gary at 641-1010? What's going on, Gary?
Hey, Ron, Chuck, what about the option of the Jags maybe move down four or five spots, give an extra second this year, and maybe an extra second next year?
Hey, well, you know, the Jags could take Kyle Pitts. They could end all this Kyle Pitts talk really quick.
Could
take him.
Yeah, you betcha.
What do you think about that idea?
Oh, it's a great idea, Gary, sure.
You what? You're still in the first round. You move down, you get extra picks.
Sure.
You always get extra draft.
And that, you know what I think? You know what I'll do? I'll hedge my bets. I think I'll take the generational quarterback. I'll take that guy.
Well, no, you move down.
I'm talking about with their second first round pick.
Oh, I thought you were being. I thought you were being anti-Jag. You are. I thought you were being facetious.
I'm talking about 25. Move down to maybe 29.
Okay. And that's okay. If they get to a point, they get to 25, and there's a few guys there. Say there's three or four guys there they like. Sure, move back. Right. But here's the pick that you move back with, and see. By the way, Gary, me and Chuck and I both thought, you know, you're being a bit of sarcasm because your Jaguars hatred would usually comes through within the first 10 seconds of your calls. But no, I would say this: the 25 pick, I may stay there. But here's think about this on draft day after Thursday. It used to be after the third round because you know first three rounds are the day one on a Saturday. But since this new format. After round one, you reset your draft board. That's to me is why it was so important that the Jaguars, you know, the Jaguars finished with you know a worse record than the Jets and didn't have to alternate right the getting the first pick in each round with them with New York is because now that 33rd pick is huge because now after day one people man I can't believe that guy's still there maybe the Jaguars use that pick or there's someone says man. They'll give you not a king's ransom, but maybe a prince's ransom to move up and get that pick. That's going to be the big one.
I don't think you can ever go wrong getting extra draft picks, especially when you're rebuilding.
Well, you know what? And I'll tell you what, speaking of rebuilding, if you're out there listening, do yourself a favor. I finally had a chance to listen to it this week, the podcast of Peter King and Urban Meyer. It was about 30 minutes long. It was very good. And what's funny, Peter King asked Urban Meyer about rebuilding. Is it say one of the and a lot of look, it's great. It wasn't a bunch of softballs hit through Urban Meyer. It was a very good interview. And one of the questions was, hey, you know, you're not used to to losing. The worst record you ever had was 8-5 in college, three games over 500. You average an 11-2 record between your time at Florida and Ohio State, do you see this Jaguars team as maybe been like a 2 or 3 year type of rebuild? He said, no, not at all. He said, yeah, I'll never get used to losing. Don't like it, can't stand it. He says, you know what? He says, so I'm a realist. He says, but at the same time, he says, this is a players' league. He says, and I'm never going to tell players, hey, we'll be okay in a couple of years. No, because our goal and our job is to win every game that we play. He said, we won't win them all. He said, but that's what we want to do. He said, it's not fair to the coaches on the staff and to these players to say, hey, we're playing for 2 or 3 years down the line.
Yeah.
We're playing for next week.
And Jason Lagaforo called said, hey, over, maybe the NFL isn't for you.
you're silly, Chuck. All right, Gary, we appreciate the call, man. We can step aside for a break. We'll come back. Take more of your calls. Hit us the Twitter line, the text line at 641-1010 as well. We broadcast you from Dick's Wings on the north side of 92.5 FM.
Compton and Company on 1010XL.
And welcome back to Compton Company, coming to you from Dick's Wings on the north side of Yellow Bluff and near Berlin Road. Nice little gathering we have as Masters is ongoing. Come hang out with yours truly, Chuck Elliott, alongside Michael Phillips, producing the show today. We're again at Dick's Wings at Yellow Bluff near Berlin Road. Also, we're at Lakewood at San Jose and University. Daily drink specials, food specials, you name it. Happy hours all day on Thursdays. But every day, a happy hour, 3 to 7, the best happy hour in Jacksonville. We're here Saturdays, live music on Fridays, poker's on Mondays, you name it. It's here at Dick's Wings on the north side. Poll questions, again, are these both Jacksonville Jaguars related? With the second first-round pick in the draft at number 25 for the Jacksonville Jaguars, a toy for Trevor Lawrence, say it's whether it's a Kadarius Toney, if it's a Najee Harris, if it's some help in the secondary, meaning that the safety position that is, and the more kid, or maybe some help in the middle of that defensive line. And I know, I mean, to me, Chuck, I'm taking a weapon for Trevor Lawrence. I'm taking a weapon with the number 25 pick, and if I stay at 33, I'm going to get someone to help along that offensive front for him as well. And I know that they signed Marvin Jones in free agency, and they also, as far as the defensive line is concerned, they did get Jahad Ward. They re-signed Dwayne Smoot coming off the edge, and then Roy Robertson Harris as well. And then, of course, the big one was Malcolm Brown. They signed from the New Orleans Saints. So they did address the defensive line, free agency. Tyson Alualu, who agreed to terms, obviously decided to stay in Pittsburgh. So, they brought a couple receivers in, and Philip Dorsett, and I mentioned Marvin Jones Jr. They plugged in some help on the defensive line. They also addressed some secondary issues as well with Shaq Griffin from Seattle, which to me was that was sort of like their jewel, I would say, wouldn't you, of the free agent haul.
That was definitely their biggest signing.
It was their big splash, right? So you know what they did? They went out, they re-signed Dakota Allen, Trey Herndon, Gray, Logan Cook. They re-signed some guys.
Gostis too, I believe.
What's that?
Adam Gostis, the D lineman. I think they signed him.
They did. And then they went and brought Rudy Ford in, sort of a special teams type guy, safety from the Eagles. Same with Jamal Agnew, sort of a special teams guy as well. Re-signed Josh Jones, safety position. I mean, they ended Sidney Jones at corner. You know, they re-signed some guys. They went out and got Rayshon Jenkins, who was, I would say, outside of Shaq, was obviously there to me. And Malcolm Brown, from a defensive standpoint, was maybe the third best signing on that side of the football. So we'll see. But what they did do, though, by addressing a bunch of different areas, they're not, sort of pigeonholed into a certain position, right? We all know what they're doing, number one. But then after that, because they've, other than the Shaq signing, and I think the Derrick Brown trade, that wasn't free, it was a trade with the Saints. But other than those two, they didn't. So there's no big splash, right? So, but they did enough to where it said, well, the Jaguars have to go here. They have to go there. They can go anywhere. Go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, well, talk about a draft. Just hit my funny bone on the end of the bar. What? Those things aren't funny.
How funny was it, Chuck?
Not very funny.
I just checked.
I think it's pretty funny.
I do, too.
But to me, this draft.
Yeah, hey, this side of the table is pretty funny.
From a viewership. This is not Jags related, but number four pick is going to be what's going to happen at 10 minutes? I mean, when we get to the fourth pick, the Falcons, they could either take who they think is their next franchise quarterback, a generational tight end, number one receiver.
Yep, you're right.
Or they're going to have teams coming
to
them with offer because they want a quarterback. They're going to have teams come to them because they want Kyle Pitts. That's going to be a crazy team.
That is. You're right. I agree.
I'm
you know
so
what? That's
crazy.
Good. Chuck, you know what? Again, I can't believe I'm going to say this. This is like the third. This is like the third week in a row.
That's right.
I think Chuck's made a really excellent point.
So if you're the Falcons,
I don't even know what's happening right now.
If you're the
bizarro world,
if you're the Falcons GM, if you're let's go old school, if you're Rankin Smith, what do you do? You take a quarterback. You take Pitts. You take Jamar Chase. Do you trade that? What do you do?
I think you just take Pitts.
I mean,
over the quarterback?
You know, and that's why
a great quarterback, I should say.
Yeah, because Matt, look, you know what? This is where I see the Falcons. Okay. Right now, they are in a very similar situation the Jaguars were in when they drafted Byron Leftwich. Think about that for a moment, right? Okay, so when they drafted Byron Leftwich, Mark Brunell was still on this roster. Jack Del Rio wanted to keep – I mean, this is identical, different position, but listen, hear me out here. When they were on the board, Jack Del Rio said, Mark Brunell has 3 or 4 years left. At least, you know, I want to draft Terrell Suggs. And we see how T. Sizzle turned out in the league, right? A borderline Hall of Fame player in the National Football League as an edge rusher. And he, you know, that's what Jack wanted to do. GM, Shaq Harris, he wanted to go quarterback. Well, it didn't work out very well. This year, okay, their new GM in Atlanta, the rumor is he wants a quarterback. New head coach Arthur Smith says, whoa, Matt Ryan has a few years left. I want to go in a different direction. I want to go Kyle Pitts. I want to go Jamar Chase. Same idea. The coach says, hey, the quarterback has a little left, you know, gas left in the tank. The GM doesn't. So if I'm the Atlanta Falcons, I'm with Michael Phillips. I say, trades be damned. I'm going to get look, to me, that's why if our poll questions, the second one was this. If you're the Jaguars, would you give up 25-33 next year's one and next year's third to move up to take Kyle Pitts in an absolute second? Because we all talk about how first-round draft picks are 50-50 bang or bust. Kyle Pitts, there's no way he's a bust. Unless it's injury-related, he's not a bust. Dear Lord, he's not a bust. I mean, I've said this for the last 3 months. He's Darren Waller with more speed is what he is.
That's why I'm mad at the Dolphins for jumping out of three. And a little more, a little less intrigued, but still interesting. The 49ers, you assume it's Justin Fields. Now you hear a lot of maybe it's
they've been talking Mac Jones for
Mac
3 weeks.
Mac, yeah, Mac Jones has been the guy in three
for
them.
I would take Justin Fields.
I would too.
Yeah,
I would too.
Absolutely. I would take Trey Lance over Mac Jones. That's just
me.
Wow,
okay. Yeah, I would probably would too. You're right.
Let me tell you, look, Mac Jones is better, bit marginally better than Kyle Trask, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think he's definitely better, but they're in the same ballpark.
Yes, they are. So, to me, when you look at ceilings and floors, I look at Justin Fields may have a lower floor than Mac Jones, but his ceiling is through the roof.
Oh yeah.
And to me, if you're going to give up what San Francisco gave up, it has to be for a guy that ceiling is through the roof. That's why I think the pick's going to be Justin Fields. All the smoke has been Mac Jones. They talk about the offense, they run all these things. All the smoke's Mac Jones. But if you're going to give up that much equity to move up, I think it has to be for a guy that has a ceiling that's through the roof, and that would be Justin Fields. That's why I think that's the pick.
So if they do take Justin Fields at three, let's say, well, then, you know, you wonder, the Falcons at four. Now what do the Bengals do at five? You may have teams, let's say the Falcons take Pitts or Jamar Chase. Then you have teams at five where the Bengals are coming up and say, wait a minute, we won't trade Lance. So what are they going to give the Bengals, baby? Or maybe the Dolphins, you know?
Yeah, you have maybe that. Or, like, a team that wants another, like, whether it's Chase or Pitts that goes at four, maybe a team comes up and they want the other one, you know? Or maybe the Bengals just take that guy. The Bengals have been mocked to take Penei Sewell out of Oregon this whole time. But, you know, if Chase is sitting there, who played with Burrow, obviously, at LSU, and he loved him, they had a great relationship and connection – maybe they take him and get another weapon, or maybe they take Pitts if he's there. I mean, that could very easily happen, or they could the Falcons and the Bengals, with how many quarterbacks are going to go before them, have their choices in a bunch. They could trade down, take one guy, take another guy. It'll be very interesting to see. You know, that's when the draft starts. It'll be very interesting to see what they do.
It starts at four. Look, because whether it's Justin Fields or Mac Jones or Trey Lance, for that matter, we know quarterback's going number three. Number four is the wild card because, again, it's going to start right there with the Falcons because, again, the coach wants to keep the quarterback and wants to draft another direction or wants to trade back for picks. That's what the coach wants to do. The GM, he wants to take a quarterback. So says
right.
That those are the rumors. Again, who knows what's true and what's not. And I'll say this real quick. You mentioned Penei Sewell. I'll tell you right now, I think Rashawn Slater will go before Penei Sewell.
I've heard that. Yeah, he's really good. They're both great.
Well, and here's why, to me, Slater gives more value. He's Zach Martin.
Yeah.
For the Dallas Cowboys. He's played all five offensive line positions. Penei Sewell is a tackle. Slater has played all five offensive line positions. That's what makes him very valuable. So, again, as a fan of the Dallas Cowboys, I'm hoping – I'd love to hear the name Kyle Pitts in Dallas go along with what they have on offense. But if not, I hope Rashawn Slater falls at 10 and they can draft him again to help protect that huge investment they have in Dak Prescott.
I want to throw out a scenario to you. So if Slater and every defensive – there's not a defensive player taken, you have your pick of the litter, whether it's Micah Parsons, J.C. Horn, Patrick Surtain, whoever you want – on the defensive side of the ball, whether it's Slater or one of those defensive guys or anybody that you can think of that's still left, what direction would you want to go in as a Cowboys fan?
At 10?
Yeah, at 10, yeah.
I thought Patrick Surtain is penciled in for the Cowboys.
A lot of mocks have him at 10, but you're asking me, I'm looking at, what's going to help my team more right now? When I just gave Dak Prescott 4 for $160 and $126 million guaranteed.
True.
Okay, and I've got all the receivers that I have. I've got Zeke Elliott, Tony Pollard, the backfield. And the offensive line, look, I mentioned Zach Martin, but these guys have been banged up, man. Last year when the season ended, the Dallas Cowboys had basically a second-string offensive line playing for them because Tyron Smith can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
Give me a guy that can play all five positions, because if one of my guys goes down, I'm plugging him in if he's not already starting somewhere on that offensive line.
And I just talked about how exciting is 4 pick. Well, what about, let's say the Falcons take Pitts. Well, at 5, the Bengals, do they take Chase? Do they take a tackle to protect Burrow?
That's true.
Do they trade? Because let's say, Trey Lance is still right. Trey Lance is still out there. Mac Jones is still there. Does the team come up and give the Bengals a crazy
This is what I would tell you.
Five is similar to 4.
All right, let's look.
Very.
Okay, it is. Let's look. So let's say we're going to get some poll question stuff here in a moment for Michael Phillips. But let's just say that here we are, the Bengals are on the clock, and if
Pitts went to 4. Pitts went 4.
Yeah.
Falcons.
And here we are. Well, then, if I'm the Bengals, because the Broncos want a quarterback, I know they have Drew Locke, if both those tackles and Ja'Marr Chase are all on the board, I may trade down a few spots, because knowing that I'm either going to get my blindside protector for my quarterback, or I'm going to get him one hell of a weapon that he's very familiar with in a few picks.
That would definitely be ideal. Say the Dolphins, where are the Dolphins at? Are they at 6 again? Say the Dolphins were to come up and they want to grab Chase. Absolutely. That's the direction they want to go in. So you move two spots down and Sewell, Slater, and Chase are available.
Yes.
You're going to get one of those three. So, that would be absolutely ideal. And then you'll probably get another first rounder next year, especially because the Dolphins have multiple, or you'll get like the 8, whatever their second first rounder is this year.
You know, this is going to be a very entertaining top half of the first round of the draft.
Michael Phillips, you're probably 3 at a time, but this ain't the 2013 draft where
Luke Jokel and Eric Fisher.
Oh, no, I remember that.
Wait,
I remember
three years
that.
Old
yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was. Let's see. I was born in 97. So
97.
Yeah. You know, I was like 13. God, I was 13, 15, 16, whatever. I don't know. I can't.
That just makes me laugh because
makes me cry. Makes me feel old.
makes me laugh because I'll be 50 in November here in 1997. When I think of 97, I think of the 32-29 game in Gainesville.
Yeah.
The quarterbacks, Florida State.
I've heard about that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Are you married, Michael?
I am married.
He,
yes.
Married.
Well, Ron's going to use advice of women. Never mind. But so back to the when you're that young. Never mind. But anyway, back real quick to the Bengals. You know, we talk about how unsexy it would be to, let's say, take Sewell. But then I always think back to Jerry Jones when he put together that great offensive line. I mean, that's really where you know you've got to have the big guys up front. It's not sexy,
you do,
but it helps in a lot.
Well,
run.
Look, we're going to go to the phone line. We're going to go to the poll question here in a moment. But think about Jerry, and think about Jerry Jones, actually Stephen Jones, when Johnny Manziel was there and available. Jerry Jones,
yeah,
he wrote Johnny Manziel on the Chad. Stephen Jones took it from him, ripped it up, threw in the garbage. He said, Dad, he goes, you put me in charge of this, and I'm in charge for a reason, okay? Take emotion out of it. He wrote down Zach Martin's name on the Chad and turned that in. And
yep.
That's how they ended up with Martin and
what
not
a great
Johnny
decision
football.
That was.
Yes, it was.
It was amazing.
And as we break here, give us some poll question results, and on the other side, we're going to bring Brent Beard in and delve around the world of collegiate sports. What do we have?
Yeah, all right. So our first one of the day is as we're underway now, we want to hear from you guys. What would you do with the 25th overall pick? Would you go with a playmaker in Kadarius Toney, the secondary help with Trevon Moehrig, or defensive line help with Christian Barmore? And right now, Toney as the playmaker, well ahead at 52% of the vote so far. Secondary help with Moehrig at 32%, and then only at 16%. People want to go with the defensive line with Barmore. Personally, I wouldn't go with either of them, any of them. I would probably lean towards the playmaker, but honestly, I still want offensive line help. That's just me.
Okay.
And then our second poll question of the day has gotten a lot of traction, very split on this one. So here's a scenario. If it would take the 25th overall pick and the 33rd overall pick this year, plus a first and a third next year to move up and select Kyle Pitts, would you do it? Right now, 55% of the votes say no, it's too much, and 44% of the votes say yes, I would absolutely do it. Give me Pitts.
Well, and here's what I would do as we break here. I would take Toney. I'd take the playmaker. And I can understand, you know, you're Michael Phillips. You want any offensive line help. But I think with that 33rd selection, first pick in the second round, you can certainly address that if you haven't made that
true.
If you haven't made that trade for Kyle Pitts,
yeah.
So you can certainly do that. I like the Kadarius Toney option, and then I would absolutely give up, 25, 33, a one and a three because here's to me. Again, it's bang or bust. You roll the dice when you draft most of these guys. Sometimes there's certain guys you know, man, unless injuries or something crazy happens, that guy's going to be a star. And Kyle Pitts is going to be a bona fide star in this league for a long time. And you give me that assurance, I'm making that trade. All right, go ahead, Chuck. Real quick.
No, the only thing is, when you try to project out to 25, it's hard because I've who knows who's going to be there at 25? There may be somebody crazy that falls, so it's hard to say at 25, this is what I want to do, because when you're that deep in a draft, who knows who's going to be there? So I hate to even project that.
That's why you make the trade. That's why you make the trade. You don't know who's going to be there, but you know what that guy gives you. You know what he's going to give you. All right, we'll step aside for a break. We'll come back. Brent Beard's going to join us, and we'll delve around the world of collegiate sports, talk the FSU spring game, the Alabama, the Nick Saban rule may go away. That and more as we broadcast to you from Dick's Wings on the north side of 92.5 FM.
Compton and Company on 1010XL.
And welcome back to Dick's Wings of the North Side. Watch a little Masters action. We're here at New Berlin, Yellow Bluff Road also. Come see us in Lakewood at San Jose and University. We're here on Saturdays from 12 to 2 each and every Saturday. Live music on Fridays. We have poker on Monday nights. All day happy hour on Thursdays. I'm telling you, name it, it's here. And then Flip Coin, which is the coolest thing, I think, in Jacksonville, as you roll in here on the north side on Wednesday nights at the bar area between 7 and 9 o'clock. And order a drink. If you and you get heads or tails, hey bartender, tails. Tails never fails. If you're right, drink's free. Not for the first drink, but for 2 solid hours. That would mean our next guest, for 2 solid hours, if he was a very lucky man, would drink 2% milk for free for 2 hours. And that'd be none other than our buddy Brent Beard as we bring you the College Weekly Notebook. Brent, how are you doing, my friend?
That would be almond milk now.
Oh, that's right. Your almond milk. Okay, my bad. I'm sorry, Brent. Almond milk. Almond milk for Brent Beard.
And the youngest daughter has had an effect on some of my eating habits. So they, no matter how old they are, they enjoy telling their father what to do on a on numerous occasions.
Yes, so, they do. I can relate with that.
And by the way, my oldest is coming down, just so happened to be on her birthday weekend. So I'm sure she wants to stalk the sleigh before she goes back. So they kind of know how to work that too, but we love them and we go with it, but nice to be on, with you guys. We are a lot going on and back college basketball and college football, a lot of spring games starting in the SEC next week.
Yeah, what, A-Day's next week, your boys, right? Next week,
yeah.
A-Day?
Yeah,
right?
It is. Bama, Arkansas, Auburn, Georgia, LSU, Mississippi State, and Vanderbilt all have games next week. Florida State has a game in a few
days. Today, yeah. Hey, Brent, what does Florida and Kentucky have in common?
Neither one of them had a spring game.
That's correct. I was going to say, and I don't mean they're
Good basketball team.
I was going to say, they're not, now they're probably the top two SEC basketball schools on an annual basis, but no, not that one. They're not, neither of which have a spring game this year.
But
that's correct.
Look, they can talk all about this, use the stadium for either testing or vaccines, and that's fine. It's good that they do, but I just thought they made a mistake by not having a spring game in Gainesville. You've got to do something for your fans.
Absolutely. Yeah, look, Brent, I understand, and I'll let you continue here. But look, yeah, you're right. They promoted, we have stuff on Instagram, videos on Instagram or Facebook Live or this link or that link. It's not the same, Brent.
No, it's just
not the same of having a television production where you can say, we know, hey, at 2 o'clock today, you know, or at 4 o'clock today, we're going to see the orange and blue debut or whatever you want to call it. It's just not the same, Brent.
No. And see, look, this is the ideal situation for the coaches and sports information people is that they could send out a homogenized, pasteurized, and baptized video that basically shows you nothing except them running around a little bit, stretching, and so forth. So, and look, I get the fact that you want to you don't want to show everything you're doing during the fall, but crying out loud in the spring, it really doesn't matter. It's not like they're going from the spread to the wishbone or something of that nature. And the other two, what I'm really glad to see, Jed Fish is doing this in Arizona, and frankly, give him credit that Mike Norvell has done at the FSU. Their two scrimmages were open to the public for people to come sit in the stands and watch. So, athletic departments need to be aware of this. After going through what they did last year, you've got to throw your people a bone And because I can tell you guys, the more excuses you give people not to go to games, the more they're going to stay home in front of the TV and near the refrigerator.
Oh, without a doubt, Brent. Hey, some college football notes, recruiting related. Obviously, we haven't talked in a while, but, you know, we've talked in the past about the transfer portal in both college basketball, football, and all these sports, that it was only a matter of time before they made it official that these players get one mulligan, right? One time they say, hey, I'm going to go somewhere else. It's certainly going to drastically change the landscape of recruiting in collegiate sports. But there's some rules that that are upcoming that are going to be put in place, Brent. Tell us about those in terms of dates as far as guys being able to recruit.
Division One Council actually meets next week, and they're going to deal with the one-time transfer for 21-22 players that would need to transfer by July the 1st. Now, that date is interesting because, obviously you've got to put some parameters on it. And instead of just giving them a blank check or to do it anytime they want to, that's what they're looking at. Now, I think that will pass. The coaches actually raised some cane about this and had a little pushback on it. I don't know if it's enough to get it tabled, but and there's still a lot of people who believe that, and this has some merit, that if a coach leaves a school, that player should be able to leave anytime they want to, but otherwise they need to set out a year if they transfer. So there's some mixed emotions about that. The other thing that's going to change here is on June the 1st, they're going to get rid of this dead period. The dead period's been here since March of 11.
Is that Nick Saban rule, right?
Yeah, well,
they're doing away with the Nick Saban rule, Brent?
Well, the Nick Saban rule is more the bump rule, and that has been out a little bit this week, too, that they're looking at modifying that to some degree, but this dead period's frankly just been ridiculous. They should look.
It's been like almost a year, right, of the dead period? Is that right?
It has been. Look, guys, the ridiculous thing about that is if you can play games in your stadium, even with reduced rate, say 20,000 people, 12,000 people, I mean, for crying out loud, coaches ought to be able to either go out or you can bring a dozen people in to your school to look around so that they've totally overreacted to that. But it looks like June 1st that we will get rid of the dead period and coaches will be on the road and players can come in to tour the campus.
You know, we're getting close, boys, to being back to normalcy, Chuck Elliott. Yeah. What do you have for Brent Beard? You've been silent over there. You've been silent, Chuck.
I'm glad to hear Brent. It's been a while. It's been a while. And I think every week we have Brent today. You know, that's what I was wondering, Brent. Do we think that, I guess, zeroing in on the SEC, when we get to September, are we going to be at 100%, 75%? I mean, what's your personal opinion?
The ADs are telling you that we're going to be at 100%, frankly, because, and we can read through the lines with this, that they won't sell tickets. So if the ADs are saying we're going to be at 100%, then your consumer is going to say, well, if my AD says we're going to be at 100%, I need to renew my tickets. So, and look, I hope they are at 100%. That's one thing that people miss. Now, we'll say this, some of the spring games coming up next week, I know Alabama is allowing 50%. Now, obviously, 50% of 100,000, you do the math of that, that'd be the most people in the stadium in a while for a spring game. So, I mean, I'm with you, Chuck. I really hope that's what we're going to have, and I think the way that they're making progress in this thing, either through herd immunity or through the vaccine, that, I mean, it's the fourth month of the year. By the ninth month of the year, in another 5 months, we should be able to make even more considerable progress during that time.
I'm gonna make a prediction and say by this time next year, there won't be a mask mandatory anywhere, and there shouldn't be. By this time next year,
we're getting
you know,
the vaccines out.
Exactly. Well, with all the vaccines that are out, look, I tell you, you know, it's weird how sometimes things hit you, you know, in certain ways. I remember about 6 months ago, and then I'm going to go 6 months ago and then again last night. So 6 months ago, I go to the gym, and I walk in, and everyone's masked up, right? And then I go next door after the gym. I had to pick up a couple of things. And there's a Ross, Dress for Less, next door. I go in, next door, and people all wear a mask. And we've been wearing masks for a while at that point. But it just hit me. Man, I looked around. I said, man, this is crazy to me. Everybody in the gym, everyone here at Ross, we've all got a mask on. It struck me. I go, wow. And then last night, a complete 180. It didn't even hit me until I was there for probably an hour. I go to the Clay County Fair. I could count on one hand how many damn masks I've seen. It was great. It was great.
I'm not saying great because it was great because
there were no masks.
I still wear a mask.
Hanging. I mean,
I still wear a mask out of courtesy to other people when I'm like at stores.
Well,
stuff
inside,
like that.
Sure. I'm talking about you're outside. We're outside, Chuck. We're not inside of
now,
you know?
Now, Brent, one thing I want to ask, let's step back to the NCAA tournament for a minute. Was it after the first weekend, and was it Pat Ford, did he make some, like an accusation that the teams of coaches that didn't wear masks, they lost, and that's kind of a good thing, or that was kind of their punishment for not wearing masks?
Yes.
Yeah, so I think that's a little over the top.
If I were his boss, I'd fire him.
But he did do that, Brent, right?
I'd fire him if I was his boss.
Look, Fordy was one of the original Corona brothers in media, meaning that you had this group of national media, along with the Big Ten presidents, but this group of national media, and Pat was a member of that, we should just not play football at all. And he still continues some of this. And look, I'm not making this a mask or no mask argument today, but I'm just pointing out what there were a couple of coaches that he actually had a tweet in that for whatever reason did not have a mask. That they had the mask on, they just didn't have it over their nose and mouth. So he tweeted out or inferred. Is that the reason they lost? Because a coach didn't wear a mask, which is absolutely absurd. Had nothing to do with it at all. And he got roasted, as he should have, on that. But, yes, that did happen.
You know, sometimes stupid people say stupid things. That's all I'll say about that. Hey, Brent, one more before we let you get out of here. Well, two things. I want you to give us your opinion on the overall transfer portal rule, because we had a poll question last week, Brent, as far as the portal. Get rid of it, and I'll ask you, get your answer here. Get rid of it, keep it the same, or modify it. And my way of modifying it would be the only way you can transfer is either you've graduated or if there's been a head coaching change at your school. Or and here's another one. If there truly is, say someone is playing basketball in Florida, and he's from Texas, and you know his mom or dad or brother or sister has unfortunately fell ill. I mean, and it's bad. If there were one of those reasons, I would say you graduated, or there are really huge circumstances, then you should leave. Otherwise, you know what? If it's because I'm not happy with my playing time or whatever, you've got to deal with it, because this thing has gotten out of hand in terms of basketball this year. There's, I want to say, over 1,300 players currently now in the transfer portal, and that's the first one I want you to address real quick, Brent. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I tend to agree with you on that, but it would be a lot simpler if we did what you said and had some reasons that special exceptions. See, what's happened is the pendulum has swung from not favoring the athlete to now we're favoring the athlete on everything. Now, some of that is keep the athletes from forming a labor union, But that's a sermon on another day. But they would be probably better off if they did modify it, but because it is going to be a zoo. But again, it's just one time that you have a free waiver. What this is, it means that you would not have to set out a year. You could just transfer immediately, which would have its consequences. It's probably going to take 2 or 3 years if this thing passes for us to really figure out how to deal with it.
Your last question, Brent, before we break here. SEC Media Day is typically in Destin in the spring. A lot of changes, right, Brent?
Yeah, it's going to, instead of being in Destin and with media and coaches present, it's going to be another one of these virtual things. And the shame of that is that the Destin meetings really had gotten good over the last few years because the coaches are relaxed and you can just go there and get a lot more information than normal. I hope this doesn't happen again for media days in July that are going to be in Hoover, Alabama. I don't think that. I think they will have it. How much media will be allowed to go? Well, we don't quite know yet. But yes, for Destin and Memorial Day weekend, or I think they're going to spread it out even beyond then, that's going to be virtual. And then for media days in Hoover, we think that's going to be, people are going to be allowed to be on site for that one.
Hey, Brent, real quick, Chuck's got one quick media question. We'll let you get out of here.
Yeah, Brent, we'll talk about this, I'm sure, more in the coming weeks and months. But do you think, like, because of the pandemic, that now with, you know, let's say, newspaper media not sending their guys to events, they're going to say, hey, we're saving a lot of money, so just going forward, we're not going to send you guys to events. You could do it from home, you know, as far as covering events.
So you've got a lot of that going on because the after games now, you actually do not have a situation that like you normally do. Well, if you're the media, you're certainly not going into the locker room. And it used to be where you would have a particular place that you would bring media, and then you would bring the coach and then different players, and you would meet in this particular interview room. Well, but that's not even happening right now. What's happening is, and to back up what Chuck's saying, is it's on Zoom. So, and look, I've already had some media members tell me, I was talking to some of them, said, are you going to the game? And they said, well, the reality is I'm really not, because it's not worth it for me right now because it's all on Zoom and I can actually be home and do that.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah. You know what? That's not just in sports media. That's sort of where we are now, right now. And so a lot of the changes that have been made, I think, are here to stay. Brent, hey, man, we appreciate it. Enjoy the family this weekend.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
That's everybody, Brent Beard, the College Weekly Notebook. Back with more of your calls, text messages. Also, we'll reset the poll question as well after this from Dick's Wings on the north side of 92.5 FM.
This is Compton & Company on 1010XL.
And welcome back to Compton Company, coming to you from Dick's Wings on the north side. Chuck Elliott, Ron Compton, Michael Phillips producing the show today. We broadcast to you from Dick's Wings on the north side at the intersection of New Berlin and Yellow Bluff Roads. Also visit us in Lakewood, San Jose, and University. Bud Light specials today, $12. Also Bottomless Mimosas and Bloody Marys on Saturdays as well. Live music is on Fridays. We have poker on Mondays and all-day happy hour Thursdays. I can go on and on and on about this place. Look, 365 flavors of wings, wraps, burgers, salad, you name it. It's all here. Come hang out with us each and every Saturday from 12 until 2 o'clock. Before I give you some today in sports, which I've got some pretty good ones here today that we're going to roll through here in a few moments, Michael Phillips, update us and remind folks what our poll questions of the day are, please, sir.
All right, so our first one is, with the 25th overall pick, what direction would you go in if you're the Jaguars? Would you go with a playmaker in Kadarius Toney, secondary help with Trevon Morig from TCU, or defensive line help with Christian Barmore from Alabama? Right now, Toney is still well in the lead at 48.4%. Morig, with the secondary help, is second at 32.3%. And then Barmore is last with 19.4% of the vote. So that's the first one. The second one is about Kyle Pitts. And the scenario is it would take the 25th, the 33rd pick this year, plus a first and a third rounder next year. So four picks overall to move up in the draft and select picks this year. Would you do it? That is, it was really close earlier. Now it's kind of gotten a little bit more out of hand. 62% of the vote says, no thanks. I don't want to move up and get Pitts and give up that many picks. 38% would still do it, though.
Well, there you go. And look, I would still do it in a heartbeat, man, because here's the deal. And we've talked about this not just today, but many, many shows. And you know what? If you're listening, get on the internet. Use that thing called Google, Bing, or whatever, and look up. Yeah, Goggle that too. Look up Jacksonville Jaguars draft history, or for that matter, the Bengals, the Browns, the Cowboys, the Patriots, the Buccaneers, whomever. Look up draft picks, first and second rounders, third rounders, and look at bangs and bust, and just look at, you know, how often players that are drafted in the top three rounds are out of the league in 3 or 4 years. Look at them. There's a lot. There's so many. So there's not many guarantees when it turn in terms of drafting players. But to me, Kyle Pitts, barring injury, is an absolute. He's an absolute. He's going to be a star in this league. He'll make at least five Pro Bowls. He's that good. Well, right now they're all Pro Bowlers. Chick. They're all Pro Bowlers.
Maybe one
or two, whatever. Because there's a lot of really good football players in the National Football League.
Yeah, but you have one tight end, right? I mean, how many tight ends? I think if he's up there at the top, shouldn't he?
Well, I think it's three per side.
Okay, three per side.
But my point is, I make the trade because I think he's a slam dunk. I really believe he's a can't miss. There's not many can't misses, but he's one of them.
Well, it's not even an option because you're going to have so many teams, you know, bidding for that fourth pick that Jacksonville would have to give up something.
Yeah, and
stupid.
That's stupid.
You got the Cowboys going to be. You're going to have teams coming in for a quarterback.
I believe that you'll have. You know, if the picks if the pick that ends up being Kyle Pitts is traded, I'm with you. I think ultimately the team that trades up will be a team that is inside the top 10 to 12.
I was reading a mock draft the other day, last night or the day before, where the Cardinals trade up to 7 to get Pitts at 7. I'm like, Pitts ain't falling to 7. He's not going 5 at the lowest, I would say, right now. 5 at the very lowest.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. I hope
because the Falcons take a quarterback or Denver moves up to 4, then I think if Pitts is there at 5, I know you need protection for Burrow. But I think at 5, the Bengals would jump on Pitts if he's there. Or if not, someone else would trade up to that 5 spot. So Pitts, 5 to me is the floor.
Hey, state of the National Football League. We bounced around a little bit. Trivia question for you both. You boys ready for this one? I'll give you a trivia question. You guys can think about it. We'll bounce around the league, and then we'll come back, okay? So here's a question. Mike Tomlin has began his coaching career with 14 consecutive non-losing seasons. Who is the only other coach in NFL history to do that? So you guys think about that. Ponder that.
Wow.
So Mike Tomlin has started his career, head coaching career, with 14 consecutive non-losing seasons.
One other coach did that?
One other coach has done that in the history of the National Football League. Oh, wow. So you guys ponder that as we bounce around the NFL.
It wouldn't be the greatest coach of all time. He had a losing season in 1976. They were Dolphins.
No, Tom Landry had a losing season
Tom
in 1960.
Landry.
So Sam Darnold, okay, so you guys' thoughts on Sam Darnold. Traded from the Jets to the Panthers for a second, a fourth, and a sixth. And then the Panthers decided to go ahead and pick up that fifth-year option that I think is $18 or $19 million.
Hey, Michael, I've never watched this show. Did you watch Breaking Bad?
No, I've never seen it.
Have you watched it, Ron?
The greatest show of all time.
Okay,
yeah.
So you might know. I heard somebody.
The greatest show of all time.
I heard somebody laugh out Sandor say, "You look like the kid on the bicycle that killed somebody." The best. There's some kid in Breaking Bad that killed someone. So it said Sandor.
I don't think
like
he looks like Jesse Plemons at all.
Jesse Plemons, is that who you're talking about?
Yeah,
okay.
That's who he's talking about. Okay. I don't think he looks like Jesse
okay.
Plemons.
I've never watched an episode of Breaking Bad, but here it's great.
And you guys.
My question
if,
is.
Okay, wait, Tom, if you guys have never. Look, if I can't believe you guys have never watched Breaking Bad. It truly is. It's the singular best show, in my opinion, in the history of television. It's that good. Yeah.
Now, my first thought was, so they've given over Bridgewater already? They've said, oh, you're not the guy?
I guess so.
Pretty much, yeah.
I guess so. I mean, look, remember about a month ago, Teddy Bridgewater took all of his Twitter or Instagram or whatever the hell he had up with Carolina Panthers stuff down, so he was pretty much told a while back that you are absolutely out of here, young Teddy. So we'll come back. I'll let you guys ponder the question. Again, the question is this, as we break here. Mike Tomlin has started his NFL coaching career with 14 consecutive non-losing seasons. One other NFL coach has done it. We'll come back and... somewhat modern. So we'll come back and get you guys' answers to that. We got more NFL news. We'll give you a Masters update. We'll talk about this on this date. Sports One really sticks out to me. That and more as we broadcast you from Dick's Wings on the north side of 92.5 FM.
Compton & Company on 1010XL.
And welcome back to Compton Company coming to you from Dick's Wings on the north side. Chuck Elliott alongside Michael Phillips producing. Nice gathering here at Dick's Wings. There should be, as we watch a little Masters. The leader will be teeing off momentarily. Got a new server. Lily's out of town this weekend. We get Rila. It's her birthday weekend. Rila's doing a great job serving for us today. We're here again on the north side of New Berlin and Yellow Bluff Roads. Also visit us in Lakewood at San Jose and University. Okay, poll questions again. Go ahead and reset those, Michael Phillips, and I'm going to ask you and Chuck to answer my trivia question I threw out to you guys.
All right, so our poll questions of the day, we got two of them. First up, with the 25th overall pick, what direction would you go in? Would you go with the playmaker with Kadarius Toney, secondary help with Trevon Moehrig out of TCU, or defensive line help with Christian Barmore out of Alabama? Toney's been the leader this whole time, and it's no different now. 48.4% say Toney. 32.3% say secondary help with Moehrig, and 19.4% say defensive line help with Barmore. Our second poll question is about Florida tight end Kyle Pitts. So the scenario is if it would take the 25th, 33rd pick this year, along with a first rounder and a third rounder next year to move up to select Pitts. Would you do it or would you not? 59.7% say nope, not going to do it. And 40.3% say, yes, I would do it. Give me Pitts.
Well, there you go. All right, so now, boys.
Boy, I like that.
You like my question?
Yeah.
Okay. You've thought about it, haven't you?
Say the question again.
All right, so the question is this. Mike Tomlin, Pittsburgh Steelers head coach, has started his NFL coaching career with 14 consecutive seasons, having a non-losing record. One other coach in NFL history has done the same. Who might that be?
Wow, you know, a lot of people automatically want to think Bill Belichick. You forget about Cleveland.
Cleveland was rough for him.
Well, he was okay there for.
He was okay.
And,
yeah,
well,
was
you
good.
Know, until this past season,
he was okay.
Until this past season, Belichick was the last coach to take the Browns in the playoffs.
That's
right.
True.
And then you can think
it wasn't that rough.
You can think Bill Walsh, but remember his first year 79. I think he went 2-14. You think Don Shula, but Don Shula had to lose the season 76. You think Tom Landry. Two guys came to mind for me. Chuck Knoll, but I am going to go with Sean Payton.
Sean Payton. All right. Michael Phillips.
My guess was Bill Parcells.
And Michael Phillips says, Bill Parcells. Okay, you're both wrong.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're both wrong.
I figured.
Now, here's my hint. Man. Here's my hint. I'm giving you both.
I'm bad now.
Okay. You ready for this? This might give it away.
It wasn't Chuck Noll, was it?
No, it was not Chuck Noll. I'm going to give Chuck Elliott first guess since he's the old guy.
Adam Gase.
Since he, yeah, not that guy. Not him.
Rich
it's opposite day.
Bizarro world. It made me chuckle a little bit when Chuck was breaking down as to why Belichick wasn't involved. Why Belichick wasn't a factor, because you mentioned the Browns. The coach that did it at one time coached the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, there. I know who it is.
Let Chuck go.
Oh, okay. All right. I think I know who it is.
Okay. Text it to me, Michael. Text it to me. Let's see. Go ahead
okay.
and text
all right.
it.
I got you.
All right. Now Chuck's mad.
Now wait a minute. Chuck's mad.
Because Michael felt the daughter, all of 20, 18 years old. Okay.
I don't know if I spelled his name
now,
right.
Now, I may be wrong. Mike Holmgren?
It's not Mike Holmgren.
Well, who am I thinking of? I'm totally missing this. Paul Brown.
Hey, because I haven't opened up my text yet.
Paul Brown.
Because Michael doesn't think he texted. He spelled his name right. I'm sure he's correct. He is correct.
You know what's great about this, Michael?
You should see the look on his face right now.
He is because
Chuck is usually he kind of sports himself, has been a sports historian. He knows all these facts and figures and stats and all these things. And when I give him the answer, he's really gonna be ticked off. He's gonna be so mad. He's going to be so mad when I give him
that. Oh, Marty Schottenheimer.
Yes.
There you go.
It's Marty Schottenheimer.
I was torn between him and Sam Bertigliano. Schottenheimer. Was my Peyton guess halfway? I mean, how many winning seasons has Peyton had? He hasn't had many losing seasons. He's been there in the state since 2006.
I would think that's a good guess, yeah.
I know he missed one year.
It might have been a good guess, but guess what, Chuck?
I know he missed a year when he was saying,
this isn't horseshoes.
Nope. More hand grenades.
Yep.
No.
Man, Schottenheimer, that didn't. I mean, I'll
say here's what's funny. Schottenheimer's first 2 years in Cleveland,
he also got fired.
He went 4-4, 8-8. That's why I said the key was, non-losing season.
Gotcha.
Right. And here's what's sad. So then he goes to Kansas City, and then he goes the Chiefs. 8-7, 1-11, 5-10-6, 10-6, 11-5, 9-7, 13-3, 9-7, 13-3. He goes 7-9. He gets fired.
Well, he got
so,
fired.
So think it. He goes 13-3, 9-7, 13-3, 7-9, and you get fired.
Didn't he go 14-2 to the Chargers to lose in the first round and got fired?
He went. Let's just take a look at his.
What,
at his
the Thomason years?
No, he did not.
Okay,
he went. You're right. He did 14-2. You're right.
And got fired.
And he got fired. You're right. You're correct. He went 14-3. And he's never coached again since then. Hasn't been a head coach since.
Didn't he pass on or not? Didn't he have dementia?
Marty Schottenheimer just passed away.
Right. That's what I thought earlier this year.
He did.
Right.
He did.
That's a good answer. I'm just mad that didn't cross. That guy, but I did. Didn't I say, hey, this guy could have coached? It could have been someone who coached multiple teams. You say,
correct. And then when you mentioned Belichick and Cleveland's what messed him up, I almost gave it away when I heard laughing because obviously Maury's first gig was coaching the Cleveland Browns. We'll step aside for a break. It's their final break. We'll come back and we'll close it out, and we'll bounce from the National Football League, reset the poll questions. Talk a little Major League Baseball as well. We're 1 week in that as we close it out from Dick's Wings in the North Side on 1010 XL.
Compton and Company on 1010 XL.
And welcome back to Compton Company as we close it out from Dick's Wings in the North Side. Check Elliott, Michael Phillips, Ron Compton. Glad to have you along with us. I think folks right here at Dick's Wings, the hostess each and every Saturday from 12 until 2 o'clock here on the north side at Yellow Bluff, New Berlin Roads, and also in Lakewood. I go see my buddy Ken over there and Tiffany at Lakewood at San Jose. And University. I'm telling you, not a better place to hang out. 365 flavors of wings, wraps, burgers, salads, you name it. It's here. Live music on Fridays, poker on Mondays. We're here on Saturdays. Flip coin on Wednesdays, rolling on a Wednesday night. Guess head or tails if you're right. You drink for free. Not the first drink for two solid hours right here at Dick's Wings on the north side.
I didn't watch yesterday. Bryce DeChambeau must have had a great second round because he made the
cut. Yes, he did.
Was he like 4 or 5 over Thursday?
Yeah, he shot a 76 on the first day, and I think he shot a 67 yesterday.
Wow.
All right, boys,
as we bounce around some
notes around both the National Football League and Major League Baseball, the Deshaun Watson story continues to just continue. Things are going in a downward trajectory for one Deshaun Watson.
I'm glad you brought that up because I'm going to interject here because I was having a discussion with people the other day, and they're like, oh, he's done, he's finished. I said, look, this does it. Teams are going to jump in and trade for him. He's going to be spending four, six games.
No,
so what?
You know, we don't know that.
Ah, we know that.
No, we don't
know.
We don't know. Chuck, you can't. Look, that's an ignorant statement to make.
Why?
Because we don't know.
What do you think's going to happen?
We don't know. Have no idea. That's the. You know what? That's the craziness in all this, Chuck. We don't know.
Oh, I think he will.
No,
he'll
dude,
be
Chuck, dude, look, don't become the writer for the Houston Chronicle that got fired because of the ignorant statements he made a month ago when he said this is nothing more than a cash grab, and it was he was dealing with terrorists.
No, I didn't say that. I'm saying this will not deter teams from trading for him.
Listen to me.
They're going to get a better bargain
okay,
now.
No, that's you know what?
I mean, the Houston, Texas
okay.
demand as much now.
If is it a bargain when the guy may be suspended for a year?
So what if you suspend it for a year?
Go to jail, Chuck?
You have a quarterback
for
the next 7 or 8 years.
What if he goes to jail? What if he sacrifices a year? What if he goes to jail and doesn't play for 5 years?
Michael Vick came back after
going
to jail. So
we don't know. This is worse what Michael Vick did if he's proven guilty.
You're correct, but
okay. But again, we don't know. That's the whole thing. We don't know.
But if you're a team, you know what you do. You take that chance because you think you have a great quarterback. You take a chance.
Very
you
glad you're not running a team, Chuck.
You sacrifice.
Yes, I know. I'm very glad you're not running a team, Chuck.
Okay, well, I'm telling you, teams will be lined up to take him. They don't care. I mean, they will sacrifice a year for this. So what?
Chuck,
I highly doubt it.
Again,
okay.
Chuck, again, we don't know what's going to happen here.
We don't know, but we do know. We don't know what's going to happen.
Wait a minute. Do you know what you said? We don't know, but we do know.
We don't know what's going to happen.
We don't know, but we do know.
But we do know what's going to happen. Teams will want to trade for him. And then Texans will be smart to hold on to him.
You know what the dumbest thing all this was when it comes to teams and trades? When people thought that the Houston Texans were somehow behind this.
I didn't hear that. That's
the dumbest thing of all time. Why in the hell, okay, if the Houston Texans were going to trade a guy and had an interest to maybe trade in a player, why would they lower his value by spreading some type of a rumor that he was engaged in some stuff like this? That makes zero sense. But no, look, back to what we're talking about, Chuck, we don't know. I mean, look, we have no idea how far this thing went. How far it's going to go in terms from a legal standpoint moving forward, criminal, civil, whatever. We don't know. Well, I mean, that's the thing.
You don't think there's a draft day trade for Deshaun Watson?
No.
Absolutely not.
No, absolutely not.
All right, well, never.
Chuck, let's do this. You care to wager the next year in tips
at
Dick's Wings? You want to wager a month?
Draft day trade.
I'll wager
a month.
Okay. All right. You want part of this, Michael?
Draft day or before. Draft day or
okay.
before.
You want some of this? Michael wants some of this.
Well, Michael, you got to come out here to join us. I can't pay your tip. You're not here.
Yeah. You still owe me for the Brady bet.
Well, I got to meet you. Like I said, I've never met you.
I'm busy.
Well,
he's a busy man. He's married, Chuck. He's got a life, Chuck.
Well, yeah. Married. You said you're married and got a wife. I think that's kind of a contradictory. No, you don't have a wife. You're married.
I have a wonderful life.
Hey, he's not wife.
You have a wonderful wife.
I know.
But you don't have a
I know
life.
What you said. I have a wonderful life. I said life. I heard what you said.
You have a wonderful wife, but not a life.
He's Jimmy Stewart. He's got a wonderful life.
You know?
That's right. Hey, by the way, on this date, 1947.
Oh, yeah.
This day, 1947, Jackie Robinson became the first black player of the 20th century to sign a Major League Baseball contract.
So is this, when's the Jackie Robinson day where everybody wears 42?
42.
Is that the, when did he make his debut? That's got to be coming up soon because that's always
it's,
early.
It's coming up soon, but today is the day he signed his contract, which I think is very cool.
Branch Rickey, right?
Branch Rickey, that's right. Great movie, by the way. If you haven't seen the movie 42, you got to watch
Branch,
that.
What
have you seen it?
Have not. Haven't seen 61 either.
That's a great movie. Oh, I've seen them both.
Barry Pepper, right?
Barry Pepper. Barry Pepper played. Yep. Played Roger Maris. And then I'm telling you, It's a Wonderful Life, Chuck. You still haven't seen it. It's a Wonderful Life. You gotta watch
it. No, I have seen part of it.
Not
the whole
part of it. Not the whole thing.
Not from Super.
You gotta watch it all. Michael, have you seen It's a Wonderful Life?
No, I have not.
Okay. Then you need to call R.J. Saunders and ask him how great It's a Wonderful Life was.
He doesn't know.
Because of a great movie. The best Christmas movie of all time. The best Christmas movie of all time if It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, all right. Yes. Oh, what about Die Hard? What about Die Hard?
It's not a Christmas movie.
Well, I agree with that. Hey, better Christmas Vacation.
Here's another NFL little nugget for you. Before we do that, real quickly, final poll question results. I'm going to give you one more NFL nugget as we get out of here.
All right. First up with the 25th overall pick, what direction would you go in? Would you go with a playmaker in Kadarius Toney, a secondary option with Trevon Moore at safety, or a defensive line option with Christian Barmore from Alabama? 46.4% say Toney, 31.9% say Moore, and 21.7% say Barmore. And then our second poll question of the day, we've gotten 173 votes on this one. Here's the scenario. It would take the 25th, the 33rd overall pick this year, plus a first and a third next year to move up and select Florida tight end Kyle Pitts. Would you do it? 60.7% say nope. 39.3% say yes.
All right, and we'll touch on it next week. But by the way, if you haven't watched it yet, go to YouTube and watch the Urban Meyer podcast with
Peter King.
You got to watch that. And here's one for you to show you that it was not the Patriots' way; it was the Brady way. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the first team in National Football League history, and this is not just the Sour Cap era, of all time, NFL history, the first Super Bowl winning team to bring all 20 starting players back.
Crazy.
Now that is, again, the Brady way. When he leaves, then they'll say, oh, there's 6 returning starters coming back.
Uh-huh.
That's what's going to happen. All right, I can hear the music. For Michael Phillips, for the fine folks here at Dick's Wings on the North Side, for Chuck Elliott, I'm Ron Compton. Until next Saturday, see ya!